They are words of caution that we encounter almost every day, and yet we probably don't pay much attention to them. You know them. Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. Climb into a car, take a look at the mirror on the passenger side of the vehicle, and there they are, stenciled. Words of caution, words of warning. That semi behind you, it's closer than you think. Things aren't what they appear to be. These words, these warnings, are also the dynamic at work in today's narrative from Luke. Things aren't what they appear. We all know the story, right? Some poor hapless guy is on the road traveling, beaten up, mugged, robbed, left in a ditch. A couple of self-righteous clergy types pass by, ignore him. Unfortunately, somebody else, some foreigner, passes by, takes care of the situation, saves the day. Moral of the story, everybody's our neighbor. Everybody's our brother and sister. All done? No need for a sermon? Not quite. A lawyer comes to Jesus posing a question. Who is my neighbor? Now, when Scripture uses the term lawyer to describe this person, it's really not referring to a practitioner at the bar, but more of a constitutional scholar type. Someone who's interested in what the law means and is studying it. We don't know his motives for asking the question. It's possible that it was a gotcha. He's trying to trip up Jesus like so many other people. But he may also have heard about this provocative new teacher with the interesting perspective and just wanted to get his take on what is an interesting question. Who is my neighbor? Jesus doesn't respond with a straightforward answer, though, does he? No, Jesus tells a story. Now, when Jesus tells stories, he usually wants to make us think. And he also usually wants to bring us to a place that causes us some discomfort. And in today's episode, he doesn't let us down. So let's spend a couple of moments thinking about the different characters and what we know about them and what we should know about them. First, there's the priest. There he is traveling on his donkey, just passes along. But why? Why doesn't he stop? Well, let's try to see things from his perspective. Here he is, dedicated to service in the temple. It's part of a group of people who have this role. It's hereditary. Being able to actually do things in the temple, though, isn't something that one could do all the time. There were more people than there were roles. So that opportunity to participate in the sacrifices and the ceremonies was rare. If the priest touched a dead body, he would have become ritually impure. So he sees what he believes is a dead body from up there on his donkey. And he doesn't want to be attacked, probably. So, focused on his desire to draw closer to God, he continues on his way. We may not be sympathetic to him, but perhaps we can understand his motives and his actions. Perhaps there are times when we have become so focused on how we think we are called to live our faith that we haven't been able to see things in a different, new light. The Levite, he too is presented with the same kind of choice. And he too continues on his way. Now, the people hearing this story from Jesus would have thought, well, we've had a priest, then we've had a Levite, so the logical next character on the scene should be just an everyday, ordinary Jew. But Jesus decides to throw a curveball. And here comes the Samaritan. The Samaritans were the hill people who lived outside of Jerusalem. They arose as a community in the wake of the Assyrian invasion hundreds of years before. They had a syncretic religion, drawing on elements of Judaism and other traditions. And the relations between the Jews and the Samaritans were tense and hostile. So nobody expected the Samaritan to be the helper. But here he is. He's the hero, right? Well, yes, but he's not the only one. Think about that innkeeper. This guy just shows up with someone who's been beaten up and says, here, take care of him. I'll pay you tomorrow. And the innkeeper says, okay. How often does that happen in our world? So let's give props to the innkeeper. That leaves us with one final character. That's our hapless traveler. Now, if you were listening carefully to the lesson as Linda read it, you'll notice that he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's a journey of about 15 miles, doesn't sound that far, but involves an altitude drop of about 3,600 feet. So you're going up high in the mountains, down below sea level. And the road that one takes is twisty and dangerous. And for the better part of the last 2,000 years, this has always been known as a high crime area. In Jesus' day, people knew there were brigands and thieves there. In the year 500, it was still known as the Road of Blood. In the 1930s, Bedouins were known to stop cars to rob the drivers. So anybody hearing this story probably had two reactions. One is, I feel sorry for this guy being beaten up and robbed and left by the side of the road. But Jesus probably also expected the second, which was, what was he doing there? He could have traveled in a caravan. There's safety in numbers. What was so important that he had to travel alone through a place where people were often mugged and killed? He was looking for trouble. He brought this on himself. Now, some of you might want to raise your hand in protest here and say, wait a minute, Steve. Aren't you blaming the victim? No. Because in any day and age, nobody should ever be robbed or beaten up. But Jesus is telling a story with a purpose here. Actions have consequences, and choices have to be made. We've seen the choice that the priest and the Levite make. They operate within their understanding of the law. They don't necessarily see the law as shaping community, as controlling it. So they can't break free from it. We see the innkeeper and the Samaritan choosing to help this victim. But then there's the man in the ditch. And even though he's half dead, he too still has agency. He too still has to make a choice. He has to accept help. Now we can listen to the story and say, well, he really didn't have much of a choice there, did he? But he did. And this is where we are called to reflect. We may not find ourselves lying bleeding in a ditch by the side of the road. But we will often find ourselves in life needing help. And it could involve a relationship or a job, an addiction, something big, something little. And I suspect if you're like me, you know that asking for that help can be difficult. And sometimes the bigger the problem is, the more challenging it is to acknowledge that one can't take care of it on one's own. That one needs the help of friends and associates and professionals. One needs the help of God. This man lying in the ditch probably thought he could count on the assistance of the priest or the Levite. They were all from the same community after all, right? But no help was forthcoming. Instead, it was the Samaritan, the other, the person he'd come to dislike just because of his upbringing, to fear, to distrust, who extended a hand. And then there's the innkeeper. I presume he doesn't know him either. He's got to let him tend to his wounds and feed him. Here, the man in the ditch has to choose to overcome his preconception, his prejudices, his fears. He needs to be able to do that if he is to move forward. This is true for us as individuals, it's true for us as a community, it's true for us as a society. We have to be willing to see neighbors in a different light. The reason Jesus doesn't define who a neighbor is, the reason he doesn't say your neighbor is the person who lives within four houses or five blocks or within six zip codes of you, or in your city or your country, or the world. It's because how we define neighbor is a state of mind. And it's one each of us is called to define. It's not always obvious who our neighbor is. But if we are willing to define neighbor with a spirit of generosity and hope and grace, we can be surprised. We can be transformed. If we're willing to let the person with the different upbringing, the different perspective, the person with whom we disagree, the person we've been taught we should not like or trust, if we let that person be our neighbor, we can be surprised. And we can discover that just like the objects in the rearview mirror, sometimes, neighbors can be closer than they appear.